during this week. I began studying on Wednesday or Thursday along this line, and then last night it seemed like I had so many thoughts that were all over the place from this passage of Scripture and could not seem to synthesize them, and I just felt a sweet peace from the Lord that I didn't need to try to doctor on it too much. Just preach what the Lord had given me from this passage and give you what God gave me rather than trying to necessarily refine my thoughts too much, rather just to share with you what the Lord had laid on my heart. So I want to try to be obedient in doing that. This is a very special chapter of the Word of the Lord. The book of Ephesians is a special book, and it is a foundational truths for the church and for living for God and for saved people, how to live for the Lord. It deals with our doctrine as well as our doing, and it deals with our beliefs and our behavior. And chapter 4 of Ephesians is a special chapter that you'll find in God's Word, and we're going to deal with that. I could go all the way through the end of the chapter, but I don't think for the sake of time that I'll be able to. We're going to go down through verse 17 in our reading. I may reference one or two of the other verses past that, but primarily preaching down through verse number 17. If you'd stand with us when you find your place, we'll read the Word of the Lord and reverence the reading of God's Word if you're able and willing to stand with us here this morning. Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 1, the Word of the Lord says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, and by the way, I could preach an awful lot on that phrase, the prisoner of the Lord. The Apostle Paul was not, God didn't put him in jail, but he was in prison for the sake of serving the Lord. But there's more to it than just that, in that he was the servant of God. He counted himself as being this, the will of God being so imperative in his life that he had no other heavenly choice, if you will, to make but to serve God and to walk with God. And we can go throughout the epistles of Paul and then even to the epistles of Jude and to James and talk about the joy of being the prisoner of the Lord. I can't touch a lot on that this morning, but I want to make mention of it as we're passing by. And he said, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity. That's the phrase we're preaching on this morning. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit.
Amen.
Even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord,
yes,
one faith, one baptism,
yes,
one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all.
Right.
But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men.
Yes.
Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth.
Amen.
He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while I read the Word of the Lord. I want to preach if the Lord will help me this morning concerning the unity of the believer, or maybe using a direct text from this passage of Scripture, endeavoring to keep the unity. Unity is the theme of Ephesians chapter number 4. You see, Satan is a separator. The devil is a divider. Slewfoot is a confuser. But the Lord is not the author of confusion. You see, Christ prayed for us to be one, even as He and the Father are one. In Ephesians chapter number 2, it deals with this thing of how God has gone to extreme measures to unify the church, both Jew and Gentile, both Greek and those of the circumcision and those of the uncircumcision, both those who had handwriting of ordinances against them, those who were once afar off, and Christ Himself, in order, in verse 15, sacrificed Himself in order to bring both Jew and Gentile into one unified body. That is Christ's body, making us of twain one new man, the Bible said. Now we are forgiven and no longer under the condemnation of the handwriting of the ordinances of the law that were against us. And He's broken down that middle wall, a partition that separated us, bringing all of us who were once separated afar off nigh by the blood of Christ. All of those are phrases from chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians. These are all unifying phrases. These are all, my friend, adjoining phrases. These are phrases that bring us together, and they are blessed truths. God is interested in our unity. He's interested in our unity with Him, and He's interested in our unity one with the other. 1 John chapter number 1, I believe it's verse number 7, said, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Amen. We can walk together if we are in agreement. And if we get in agreement with God, we'll be in agreement one with another. Amen. And the soul of the Lord will help us to get in unity with one another, then we'll be in unity, and my friend, with each other. Amen. And so there are a couple of words that I want you to notice and point out to you in this chapter. And then I want to break some of the chapter down for you this morning and talk about this endeavoring to keep the unity, or the unity of the believer. First, and notice this word unity. It is used two times in this chapter of the Word of the Lord. In verse number 3, we find the phrase the unity of the Spirit. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You see, He speaks of the unity, and notice the word Spirit here is not lowercase s, that's the spirit of man, but uppercase S, capital S, that is the Spirit of God. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit of God. Did you know, friend, that while some may say that one is of this sect or of that division or denomination or of this order, that there is but one Spirit of God, and that the Spirit of God is not divided. He is but one Spirit, and He is a unified Spirit. And my friend, He's not divided. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. And this same Spirit works in the heart of every believer that's been saved by God's marvelous grace. And He works in us, the same Spirit. And if the same Spirit works in us, and He has not a multiple personality disorder, He works in all of us in the same way. Its effect many times upon us is different. The way we react to His working oftentimes is different. The way we express our joy or our appreciation toward His working in our life is different. But it's the same Spirit that works in us. Not only is it the same Spirit that works in me as what works in you, it's the same Spirit that works in us that worked in Christ. I mean, that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now abides in us. It is but one Spirit, friend. And that is one Holy Spirit. And He is not divided. And we're endeavoring to keep the
when God dwells in me, and when God dwells in you, and when He has His way in my life and in yours, it puts a bond between us. It puts us in unity one with the other. We are endeavoring then to keep that unity that God has put between us by the working of the Holy Ghost in our lives. I've never seen one person that got saved and showed evidence of God working in their lives that raised up from the altar and said, "Well, I'm glad I'm saved, but I still don't like that fellow over there, and I still don't like that woman over there, and I still think this one's a hypocrite." Oh no, everybody I ever saw that got born again, and my friend the Holy Spirit moved in, and that they were fresh in Christ Jesus, all of a sudden they loved everybody. And friend, the reason why they get to where they don't love everybody anymore is they failed in the endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. I don't have to agree with everybody. I'm not going to agree with everybody. Some folks I'm going to vehemently disagree with, but I gotta love everybody. That's the way the Holy Ghost works in our lives. It makes me love everybody. It's good enough for me. Amen. And so we find the unity of the Spirit in verse 3. And then in verse number 13, we find the phrase, the unity of the faith, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The context here of this word faith is not necessarily that of a belief, or as an exercising faith, but rather a belonging to a particular faith and order. He speaks of the unity of our doctrine or our system of belief. Did you know if you're really right with God, there is only one faith? Someone said, "Now ain't you proud to be a Baptist?" Some of the meanest people I know are Baptists. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I know folks that drink liquor that's Baptist. I know people that cusses that's Baptist. I know people, my friend, that's in prison that's Baptist. Most of the fellows I preach to in prison, as a matter of fact, are Baptist. Amen. Ain't you glad to be a Baptist? Oh no. I'm glad to be saved. Amen. I'm glad to be born again. And now our doctrine friend may declare who we identify ourselves with. But I tell you, if you're identified first with man and secondarily with God, you got problems with your priorities. Amen. I mean, friend, hey, I'm not thankful to be a Baptist. I'm thankful that the Lord gave us a place to worship. I'm thankful that our doctrine is that most would associate with the Baptist order. I'm not ashamed of that. But I'm thankful and grateful primarily to be born by the good grace of God. However that label may have fallen out, you can label it like you want to. I'm glad to be saved. And there is but one faith. And if a man born again by the grace of God, he belongs to the same faith. Somebody said, "I'll tell you something, we only accept members in our church now that come in the same faith and order." And I'm going to upset and frustrate some of my good Baptist friends when they get to recording of this, but they can take it for whatever it's worth. Amen. They say, "Now they come from another denomination of sorts. We'll have to re-baptize them, you know." I even had one say while I was there preaching for him, and my friend here sitting there, and he said, "And this one's come from another denomination. They've been baptized by immersion, and they were saved before the baptism, Father, Lord, and believers' baptism. So we can't bury that old man in them. But we're going to require them to get baptized again so we can bury that old denomination in them." And now my problem is I can't find anything he's saved anywhere in the Bible. Amen. The Bible must be the rule of faith and order. It's the Word of God that matters. It is one Spirit, friend, and it is one faith. Amen. The context is a church united with a common faith in Christ, and Christ is an undivided body. The Holy Ghost is an undivided united spirits. And we, my friend, are to be a united body. He and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. I get in these camp meetings and things and I really enjoy it. I have a good time, and some folks, they seem to just let things sidetrack them. I get off of, you know, somewhere or another, sitting at the table and eating with them and such, and at this and wants to know where you're from and where they're from, and this and want to say, well, what preachers do you follow? I like to throw things out there like Peter, Paul, James, John the Baptist, amen, just to see how it's going to sit in their hip pocket and grind, amen, and give them a hard time. They want to know, you know, how to classify you. They want to be able to mark you, my friend, based upon men and the ideas of men. We're not to be following after the ideas of men, but rather to be working the unity of the gospel of Christ. I understand there are those that we're in much greater agreement with in terms of ideologically and in doctrine and so forth. And I'm not minimizing that. I'm probably more stern about that than anybody else in the building here this morning. But I'm telling you, our identification is to be with Christ. The church in Corinth got into this problem. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul had dealt with this before he dealt with anything else. That Christ is not divided. Listen to what he said in verses 10 through 13. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no division among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Do you hear the unity in that? For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there be our contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Who are you following anyway, is what he's saying. How did Paul save you? Did Apollos save you? Did the preacher save you? Were you baptized in their name? If you were, what you've got ain't worth a wooden nickel. Amen. I tell you, friend, what you better have is the hope of Christ dwelling inside of you. It's not about who was preaching when you got saved. My Lord, the fellow's preaching tonight, I got saved. I would not have him preach for me to save my life. I'm telling you, he's a liberal. He don't even have a King James Bible. I don't even know if he believes in the virgin birth. But he ain't the one saving me. Amen. That's exactly right. Somebody said, that fellow's preaching when I got saved, right off of some woman somewhere. I'm going to tell you, he didn't save you if you're saved. Have my friend, look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. You know, hey, somebody said, that preacher, the one baptized me, married my wife, and I way. I'm telling you, friend, if you wasn't baptized in the name of the preacher, my friend, is worth nothing. But if you're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and the preacher might change, but he hadn't changed. Amen. The preacher going to die one of these days. The church may divide one of these days. I know some good churches, friend, I preached in 22 years ago, that now are not even in operation. Hell, but God has not gone out of business, and God hasn't changed. Amen. We are one body of Christ, all of the same faith, united together. One Spirit united. The unity of the Spirit, then there is the unity of the faith. Second word I want you to note this morning. I know this is a very different sermon structure for me, so you just have to follow along with you. I'm sharing with you what God gave me, so I just have to be obedient to the Lord. The second word I want you to notice is this word one. It's the same lesson. This word one is given in this verse, in this chapter, time and again. Did you know the word one is used 17 times in the book of Ephesians? It's used 12 times in this fourth chapter alone. 12 times in this fourth chapter, this word one is used. This little word is used 7 times, or rather used in 7 of the 32 verses of the chapter 4 of Ephesians. And it's used, my friend, 8 specific times in verses 4 through verse 7 alone. And that this number is the number of unity. A marriage, you see, takes two and makes one, unifying them into one flesh. Salvation takes many sinners and unifies them into one body, in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the body of believers. The Bible is a book about one. It takes 66 books and makes one word of God out of it. Oh, my friend, God is a unifier. He's not a divider. My friend, there is unity in one. Verse number 4 says, there is but one body. There is one body. That is the church. That is the body of Christ. And I've already said Christ is not divided. There is one body, he says. There is one Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and he is not divided. He's not schizophrenic. He doesn't have multiple personality disorder. Amen. He knows who he is, and he's the same one all the time, every time. Oh, yes, he has multiple gifts. He works in diverse ways, but he's the same sweet Spirit every time you find him. Oh, yes, there is one body. There is one Spirit. Verse number 4, there is one hope of your calling. We're all saved the same way. And we all have the same hope. Our only hope is in Jesus Christ. My hope is in the blood of the precious Lamb of God. There is no other fountain so sweet. He's washed away my sin, gave me peace and joy with him. My hope is anchored in the blood. I went to a funeral the other day. They played on the speakers. Just the piano playing like it made me fly away. And while there's a playing, and that body rolled up in front of the pulpit, and there's playing, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Woo! I came in this world naked, and I'll leave out of it naked. Nothing I acquire here or get here or gain here will help me in eternity, but the blood of Jesus Christ. My hope is built in that. And even death cannot tarnish it. Time cannot make it fade away. Oh, bless the sweet name of the Lord. We that are saved have one hope.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. One body, one Spirit, one hope. And verse number 5 said we have one Lord. One Lord. Amen. That is the Lord Jesus. You see, there is but one God and one mediator between God and man. And that is the man Christ Jesus. Amen. One Lord. One Lord. Somebody say, he's not my Lord. He may not be your Lord, but he's still Lord. Amen. He's Lord whether he's your Lord or not. He's God whether he's your God or not. And in the end, there'll be but one Lord. And my friend, by the way, everybody serving any other kind of Lord, he'll even be their Lord in the end. He won't save them, but he'll be their Lord. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess that he is Lord, the glory of God the Father. There is but one Lord.
Hallelujah.
No pope, no pastor, no preacher, no patriarch of the church is Lord. Jesus is Lord. There is one Lord, my friend. One body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord. And then there is one faith. Oh, that is our system of order and doctrine. And it must be the Word of God. We are living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love from all harm, safe in his sheltering arm. I'm living by faith and I feel no alarm. I thank God there is but one faith. We're living by faith. We're walking by faith and not by sight. We are saved by faith. By grace through faith are you saved. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We are justified by faith. In Romans 5:1. a faith or for our faith. We're contented for the faith. If you're believing in anything other than Jesus, then what you're believing in will crumble. It will fail you. If any doctrine is in any way opposed, if salvation by grace through faith, it is not of the one of faith that is declared in Ephesians chapter 4. Now listen to me, I'm going to nail her down here. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. A lot of this crowd out here, while I'm preaching on unity, I'm going to say something that folks would call divisive. A lot of this crowd out here claiming to be part of the faith have never been part of the faith at all.
Amen.
Any spirit that declares unto you that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, is not of the Lord, it is a spirit of the devil, is what little John taught us. Amen. This bunch, my friend, that's teaching any other way to heaven except by grace through faith in the person of Christ, who is Lord of all, is not of the faith. They have a faith, but they're not in the faith. They're not in the faith and order of the Word of God. It's not a matter of whether or not they're Baptist. Amen. It's a matter of whether or not they're born again. And they're not, if you're not putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's right. No water can save you. I'm asking, I don't care who administers a baptism, what manner of your baptism. And no water can save you. No works can save you. And no matter how much good you've done, no wealth can save you. And no amount of wisdom can save you. You'll be ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. It'll take Jesus to save you. And if you're outside of Jesus and not being Him as Lord, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, God is our substitute. Rose bodily on the third day, ascended back to the heaven, and maketh intercession for us. That is the gospel. And my friend, if you don't trust the gospel as your salvation, and you'll die lost and go to hell, you're not in the faith.
Amen.
You may be in a faith, but you ain't in the faith. Amen. Well, one faith. And then he said, not only is there one body, one spirit, one hope, and one Lord, and one faith, but then there's one baptism. What about that? There ain't but one baptism. Well, I know of all kind of ways that people administer baptism. Amen. And my friend, there's only one biblical way. And of course, that is in terms of the baptism of the body. There is but one biblical way, and that is to plant us, our old body, in a watery grave. It signifies the burying of the old man and its resurrection in the likeness of Christ to walk in the newness of life. But it is, according to 1 Peter, a like figure of that which has already happened on the inside. It's not the salvation of the soul or the regeneration of the sinner, friend. It is not the filling of the Spirit. Being baptized in body is but an outward testimony of the baptism that has transpired within. If you've not been baptized within, then your baptism without is of you. No use, friend. It's of no validity. You see, there is but one baptism. It's not a baptism of the church, in the water, or by the preacher. Else it would be divided, scaled, and graded in value according to man's order and ability. I mean, friend, if it was the baptism of the body, then if you had a better preacher to baptize you than what baptized me, then your baptism would be different and better than mine. Now we're talking about one baptism. If you've been baptized of the Holy Spirit and of fire, then your baptism was administered by the same one that administered my baptism. Amen. And it is the same baptism. That is, my friend. John said, I'll baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me whose shoe latch and I'm unworthy and loose. Don't tell me about your preacher. I'm talking about the Savior this morning. Woo! Don't tell me about your pastor. Whose shoe latch that I'm unworthy to unloose? I'm not fit to shine his shoes. And my friend will wash his feet. And he's going to come after me, John said, and baptize you with fire and with the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about baptism, friend. There is but one. It's the baptism of the Holy Ghost of God. And Baptists claim to believe in baptism and get scared, S-K-E-E-R-E-D, scared to death when you start preaching like I'm preaching right now. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's exactly what I said.
Amen.
I said it in English, but that's what I said.
Right.
Amen. That's exactly right. When you get saved by God's marvelous grace, it is the Holy Spirit that introduces you to the Savior. And you gain title deed that very day, that very moment, to everything God has. But it don't mean it's within your grasp. Oh, my friend. And your initiation into walking with God is just that, a beginning. But thank God that we can mature in Christ. And my friend, the Lord, my hate, through one work, another work, a third, a fourth, a daily work, a renewing, a washing. Listen, He don't just wash us to save us. He washes us to walk with Him. He washes us to follow Him. It's a daily work. And my friend, it's a baptism of repentance. And hey, thank God you can think of the way you want to. But He's been baptizing me ever since He first baptized me. Amen. He's been washing me ever since He first washed me. He's been cleansing me ever since He first cleansed me. He's been filling me ever since He first filled me. Hey, He's been filling me ever since He first filled me, and I've been feeling Him ever since I first felt Him. Amen. I tell you, friend, hey, the filling of the Holy Spirit is not for show. It is for service. God will enable us and empower us and allow us to live for it. And you cannot do it without the Holy Ghost. But Jesus said, it's good for you that I go away, for if I go not away, come. But when He has come, He'll teach you in all the ways of truth and right. I thank God for the Holy Ghost in my life. I praise Him for it. One baptism. And then verse 6, we're talking about just instances of this word one in these verses. Verse 6, we find there's one God. One God. He's the Father in heaven. Notice He's the same. He's one God and Father of all. All true believers. He's the Father of all true believers. He's the same. Amen. If you know the God of the Bible, then you know the same God that I know. Amen. You ever had somebody ask you, do you know so-and-so? And you say, yeah, I know him. No, that must be a different fella. We're talking about somebody else. That's a different fella. Brother John's name is John Gammon. His daddy's name is John Gammon. And so I call his daddy J.D. Some of them call his dad Derwood or whatever. And so, but his name, John Gammon. And then you might say, well, do you know John? Oh, yeah, I know John Gammon. Lives up there in Douglasville, you know, working Georgia Power all them years. Somebody said, no, that must be another John Gammon. That's not the John Gammon that I know. You see, there's more than one. But when I say unto you that I know God, that I know He that sits high on the throne, that hears prayers, that forgives sins, that changes lives, that fills the heart of the believer, and that puts homes back together, that puts happiness where sadness once reigned, that gives joy in the middle of the storm. You know what you must say if you know Him? You say, yes, that's the same God I know. Woo! I know Him, the same fella. You're talking about my God. You're talking about my Savior. You know why it is when a man of God preaches the power of the Holy Ghost. And my friend, he gets up high in the Holy Spirit. You know why something tumbles upside down in your soul and you ain't the one preaching? He's talking about your Father. You're familiar with who He mentions. He's the same. He's the Father of all.
Amen.
Amen.
One God, He's the same. Notice one God, He's the sovereign. Amen. He is the Father of all. He's above all. I got more preaching in this verse to do when I'm finished, so I got to quit putting so much running commentary here. I'm not friend, but He's the sovereign. He is above all. He's above all. Oh, yes. That's why we don't kiss nobody's stinking ring. Amen. That's exactly right. That's why we don't call any men father who wear dresses and look like your mother. I don't even believe in getting married. Amen. That's why we don't confess our sin to a man who purports to be able to tell us how to forgive our sin. Because there is but one God who is Father of all, and He is above all. That's right. He's the same. He's sovereign. And then I want to say He's supporting. He said He's above all and He's through all. Well, now that's a strange phrase. You mean God is through us? I'm so glad that He didn't say God was through with us, ain't you? But He said God is through us all. Oh, and now that word means, that term means, literally, friend, that He is pervading all things, that He is present in all things, that He's upholding all things, that He's supporting everything, lest it cease to be all together. I'll tell you why you're breathing this morning, because God's working through you. I'll tell you why your heart beats, why you've got sense enough to know your name, how wide you could stand and see it and walk and talk. Because God is working through you. And my friend, even they that don't know Him, God is working in and through them.
Amen.
Supporting all things. And then He's the same. He's sovereign. He's supported. And then He's shared. He said that He was the Father of all. He was above all. He was through all. And He's in you all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got three little girls. We got a little one that didn't make it into this world. The Lord's been taking care of ever since. Been about 7 or 8 years ago now, but John, been about 8 or 9 years ago, actually. And the Lord's been taking care of them ever since. And I got three that's here in this world with us. And all the three of them little girls said, "This is my daddy." They'll crawl up in my lap all at the same time. And they get jealous, one smooching, then the other smooching. And I'm just enjoying all of it, you know. And they'll say, "This is my daddy." But you know what all of them are saying, right? All of them are saying, right? Oh, my friend, listen. I'm no less Grace's dad. Hey, she is my first. But I'm no less her dad now that I have three children than what I was when it was just her. Woo! Oh, yes. I'm still her daddy. Oh, my, my, my. We're sharing the same father. We're sharing the same God. But I tell you what happens. Because I am their daddy. Because I'm Grace's dad. Caitlin's dad. Julia's dad. They have something that they wouldn't otherwise have. They have sisters. Amen. Woo! Because He's my father. Because He's your father. I've got something I wouldn't otherwise have. I've got a family. We share the same Father. We share the same blood. We share the same family. Amen. And God has joined us together. Thank God.
Amen.
Unity, unity, unity. He's shared. And then, notice in this word one now, I knew I would never get to the message, but I'm still just trying to share with you my random thoughts out of this passage. We may have to come back and preach outline later. But because I ain't even got started on it. It's a whole other page. I ain't even got done page one yet. And verse number 7. Still that word one. In verse number 7, we find every one. Well, that word's so common we miss it sometimes. Verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Everyone. Now, you know what the world does when they look at groups of people? They look at masses of people. They see the total. They see the sum. But they don't see the individual. And God said, don't think now that just because He's Lord of all, He's God of all, He's Father of all, and He's got all of these, all of you that are trusting in Him, that you've just become a number to Him. Don't think that He just sees the sum total of the church and the believers, but be reminded that He sees you individually. He sees everyone. He knows who you are. He's given to every one of us the measure of the gift of grace according to Christ. It's the Lord that's worked in our lives, saved us individually, works in us personally, walks with us daily. He sees us as we are, works to make us more than what we otherwise would be. And we have not the same gifts, but we do have the same giver. And He unites us all together. Oh, as one, every one of us is given grace.
Right.
Had God just given grace to the church, I'd have been in trouble. Because I wasn't in the church, I was lost. Had God just given grace to the Israelites, to the Jews, I'd have been in trouble. Because I don't have any Jewish heritage.
Right.
Just a Gentile dog. But because God gave grace to everyone, then I'm a candidate. Woo! For His mercy, for His grace. Oh yes, hallelujah. And He has made it available and said, let Him come, whosoever will, let Him come. And then on top of that, He didn't just send out an open invitation. He sent a personal invitation. Oh, yes. Thank God Mama told me about it and Daddy taught me about it. And the preacher preached to me about it. And I learned about it in Sunday school. And Eleanor Millines would squall and shout and tell us how good it was to be saved. And to walk with Jesus and how it's the best way to live. And the only way to die. You have to be great and preach and stomp and snort. And all them old timers would shout and loved me and prayed for me. Oh, but one night, I didn't just hear the general call for salvation, but I got a personal call to repentance. I sent by special order from the good Holy Ghost, who came down and troubled the waters of my soul. I waved a white flag of surrender and said, it's me, O Lord, I'm standing in need of prayer. And God came down personally, individually, specifically to my location where I was. And He saved me by His grace. And He washed away my sin. And set up housekeeping in my life. And walks with me every day. I don't know about you, but that makes me feel mighty special this morning. It shows me His great love toward us. Oh, yes, every one of us.
Everyone.
And then verse 25. We find members one of another. I can't spend much time in that verse, but he talks about how we all treat one another. Members one of another. Don't miss the words. Members one of another. Now listen to me. We're all members of one body.
Amen.
We're all members one of another.
Yes, amen.
We're not members of ourselves.
Amen.
We're members of another. Are you listening to that? That word another means somebody besides you.
Amen.
That ain't Greek and Hebrew, and I didn't even need a Greek and Hebrew dictionary to figure that one out. That word another means somebody besides you. We are part of something different and bigger than ourselves. We're not just Brother Scott, you and I, members one of each other. That'd be one thing. He didn't say we were members of each other. He said we were members one of another. He's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not just that you and I, Brother Tom, are members of each other. We, you and I, are members of another.
Amen.
The other that we're members of makes us join together. I didn't join up with you. I joined up with him. You joined up with him. That made me joined up with you. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
Hey, friend, we are members of another.
Amen.
Not of ourselves. It is the body of Christ.
Amen.
The body is not a preacher.
Amen.
The body is not a church. The body is not a denomination.
Amen.
The body is not us.
Amen.
It's not our body.
Amen.
It belongs to another.
Yeah.
It's Christ's body.
Yeah.
That other is Jesus.
Yeah.
The church is His body.
Yeah.
We are but members of another.
Amen.
Somebody said, ain't nobody going to run this church as long as I'm around here. Mm. You'd think from the way it sounds that it's your church, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
That it's your body. I got news for you. It belongs to another.
Yes.
Amen.
Hey.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
The preacher ain't even here to run this church. I'm just here to see to it you don't. Amen. That's right. It's His church.
Yeah.
Yeah. I understand what people mean, and they don't mean any malice by it.
Yeah.
But for years they've used the phrase, Brother Toby's church. This is not my church. I don't own anything here. I mean, my name's not on the deed of nothing. You can check it out. It's public information, friend. We've got it. All the deeds listed down at the courthouse. It is not in my name. Nothing's in my name. Nothing has ever been in my name. The finances are not in my name. The property's not in my name. And my friend, the doctrinal statement's not in my name. It is the church, and it is dedicated to God. And my friend, we're His body. Jesus owns this place. For you to run it, you'll have to wrestle it away from Him.
Yeah.
And all of us are contending for the faith. Amen.
Yeah.
In one body, in unity, one with the other.
Yeah.
My friend, this is not your church.
Yeah.
And it ain't my church, it's His church.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but I'm just glad to be a part of what God's doing in His church.
Amen.
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 Amen. Don't belong to me. Don't belong to a board of ecclesiastical members. Surely don't belong to some district supervisor or associational evangelist. Somebody say amen right there. That's right. It's God's. You know why it's God's? He paid for it. Bought us with His blood. Somebody said, what about the building? That was paid for with our tithes and offerings. Have you forgot what a tithe and offering is? We're giving that to God for God to use. All that's God's money. And God's money is what's paid for everything around here. And it all belongs to God. Amen. Somebody said, I'm not going to stand for you using my money that way. Ain't your money no more. Quit being your money when you put an offering plate and gave it to Jesus. It's His now. Amen. That's right. We're giving it unto God. All of this belongs to Jesus. And it's to be used not for the promotion of a man,
yeah,
or a movement or a method or a matter,
yeah,
but to be used for His glory.
Amen.
Members one of another.
Yes, sir.
And then verse 32, staying with that same theme, be kind one to another. There's where that other word one's used. Be kind one to another. Again, it's not just be kind to each other, but one to another. This speaks of treating others as Christ has treated us. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Treat others as Christ has treated you, realizing they too are part of Christ's body. When we do unto others, we do it as unto Christ. It's what Jesus said in Matthew 25. At the judgment, He said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When thirsty, you gave me drink. Naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. They said, Lord, when did we see you naked and hungry and clothed? Or naked and hungry and thirsty and in prison? He said, in that you've done it unto the least of these my brethren.
as you surely as you've done it to them, you've done it to me. How I treat you, if you're a part of the body of Christ, how I treat you is how I'm treating Jesus. If you mistreat God's people, you've mistreated the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is His body. If you attack your brother, you've attacked the Lord Jesus.
Oh my.
That's right.
Be kind one to another. Treat others the way Christ has treated you. Because when I respond to my brother, I'm not just responding to my brother. But Matthew, if you've been saved and you're a part of the body of Christ, you and Christ are one. How I treat you, I'm not just treating you. I'm treating Jesus. Because you're part of His body. He's part of you. If I mistreat you, somebody says, I don't know, Brother Matthew, nothing. I ain't got to do nothing, Brother Matthew. Brother Matthew don't want you to do nothing for him. Stay out of his way. He's liable to run over you if you don't. Stay out of his way. But, hey, I owe everything to Jesus. And how I treat you, and Christ is in you, I'm treating Jesus that way. If I mistreat you, brother, I'm mistreating Jesus. If I attack you, I've attacked Christ. If I love you and treat you well, then I'm treating Jesus well.
How about that?
How about that? I wonder how is your relationship with God and with others? Are you in unity? Are you one? Are you walking with God? Listen, this whole thing is what Jesus said was the greatest commandment. What's the greatest one? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. On these rest all the law and the commandments. You can't love God if you don't love your brother. I wonder, friend, how's your relationship with God? Are you in unity with God? Are you in unity with your brother? Are you in peace and fellowship with the people of God? Is there something in your heart you just got to deal with this morning? Don't drag it around and let it eat you up from the inside out. Do business with God. If you've got aught against your brother, first confess it to God and seek God as to how to deal with it with your brother. Have a spirit of meekness about you. Brother Matthew, if you do me wrong and I forgive you and you never make it right with me, I got to love you anyhow. Just that simple. I either got to love you or I've got to have aught in my heart against Jesus. Because if I have aught in my heart against you, whatever I do unto you, it's as if it were done unto Christ. That's what Jesus said. Now that's a hard saying. That's the kind of stuff it's easy to say amen to and hard to live by.
Amen.
But it's right. It's right. I wonder, where are you this morning? Is there anything in your heart you just need to pour out before God? I wouldn't you obey the Lord. I'm finished preaching this morning. I never get to the message, but I'm finished with what I got to preach this morning. We'll get the rest of it later. How about that? There's a lot more still to be preached. God wants us to endeavor to keep the unity. Now, I was going to get to this later, but I think it's time to say it right here. That word endeavor means to apply labor. It means to work hard. It means to give your best. Did you know you ought to endeavor to keep the unity? You ought to give your best to be a peacemaker. You ought to give your best to love folks when they're hard to love, and some of you are hard to love sometimes. Sometimes this, your preacher, I know you find this absolutely astonishing, but sometimes your preacher ain't real lovable either. Sometimes it's not easy to love your preacher. Sometimes it ain't easy for me to love your preacher. All of us at times have days and times when we're not so lovable. There's some people that seems like it's always hard to love them. But we are to endeavor. We're to work hard. We are to labor at giving our best to keep the unity. Love one another. By this shall men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. I wonder this morning, do you need help with something in your heart? Somebody's done you wrong. You've done somebody wrong. And you need to do business with God, confess it to Him. Somebody's done you wrong. You've got to get rid of that bitterness in your heart. There's a weight carrying heavy on your shoulders, and you've let that anger that we talked about in Sunday school get the better of you. Lashed out at somebody, you didn't mean it. You and them both having trouble getting past it. Let God help you this morning. Endeavor to keep the unity. I've preached to you what's on my heart. If you need to do business with God, stand to your feet, please, and come. And pray if you need to pray this morning. If you need to talk to the Lord, would you come today? I can't imagine a message like this morning not really touching all of us in some way. Just a question of what will you do with the message? What will you do with the word? How will you respond? What measures do you need to take in your life? How do you need to talk to the Lord about it all? Come pray when you're ready. Sing for us. Talking to the Lord. Do you need to join them today? That's right. It's because we're a family. That's right. Like this, especially when there's a new one. And I look to see these boys and girls with the mom and dads, but especially the little bitty ones. Brother Matthew standing there holding that little one, not no bigger than a peanut. I mean, just, I never had a baby that small. That's just amazing to me. All our kids are big fat, you know. And you forget how small they are even when they were small, you know. But he's standing there holding him in his arm like a football. And that little fellow just sleeping. Brother Matthew right up above his head singing. People around him saying amen and praising God. Mom and sister sitting right behind him on the pew. Brother Matthew, he has no idea. He's in the greatest place in the world. No idea. I don't want my children to figure out for a long time that this is not just the way everything's supposed to be. I want this just to be normal.
Amen.
Such a blessing. I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God.
Yes,
you may think you're poor this morning, but I'm looking at a house full of mighty rich people. You might go home this afternoon and eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and not have T-bone steaks to put on the table. You might have to take a top out of the carburetor and pour gasoline in it to make the vehicle fire up. I've been there before. I've already done it. Oh, but you're mighty rich.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.